Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Hallelujah. He is what it's all about. He is who it's all about. All about Jesus. All about God. That's what it's all about. Did you know that? That's what it's supposed to be all about. It's supposed to be life. Life is supposed to be all about God. Yeah, I know. It is, though. Because all things were created by Him and for Him. All things are from Him and to Him. So everything's been created for His good pleasure. And you're a part of that. You're a part of that. You are alive for Him, for His good pleasure. God is not to be a little supplement in your life. He is your life. He is why you are. He's not the enhancer of your life. He's not to bless your life. He is your life. And He is the blessing. And when you make Him your life, which is the way it's supposed to be, you're blessed. There's blessing. There's blessings. Because He is the blessing. Yeah, God is everything. I don't want to get fanatical. God is everything. He is everything. If you're not fanatical, so that God is everything, you are in great deception. And you're not living out the very purpose for why you were created. You were created by Him and for Him. For Him. That's what you were created for. So we're getting our minds renewed and we're getting back to the place of where man was originally supposed to be. And that's in Him. Found in Him, surrounded with Him, busy about Him. Busy about getting to know Him. Busy about wanting to serve Him. Busy about doing His will, doing what He wants. And there's nothing more exciting than doing what God wants. Because God's exciting. And He only wants exciting things. There's nothing boring about God. You would never hang out with God and after about an hour say, okay, can I go hang out with an angel or something? I mean, we've kind of run this as far as we can. No. That'll never happen. God is exciting. And He'll thrill you and fill you and fill you and refill you and thrill you. Come on. Hour after hour, after millennium. Come on. It just keeps going on and on and on and on and on. There's nothing more exciting than God, than serving Him, knowing Him, walking with Him. I know, again, religion has just absolutely destroyed the truth. But that is the truth. What I just preached to you this morning is the truth. And even though religion, inspired of the devil, has destroyed it and killed it, thank God there's still resurrection power enough in God to raise it back up again and to restore the image of God to His church, restore the true image of God to you so that you can once again get excited about God. Amen. So that you're all in. And it's all about Him. Doing what He wants. Going where He wants to go. And it's only fun places in God. I said it's only fun places in God. Sometimes it doesn't look fun. Sometimes you go into places, you know, I'm reminded of the children of Israel. They came out of Egypt and they're going through a wilderness. That didn't look like a fun place. But it could have been. Happy to know the wilderness was a miserable place for most of the children of Israel. But it was an extremely adventurous and exciting place for Moses. He's a human just like the rest of them. Right? And they were all in the wilderness together, all at the same time, dealing with the same stuff. Same circumstances. Same exact circumstance. But some folks just saw the misery of their circumstances, while other folks, like Moses, Joshua, Caleb, and other men of faith, while they're over here seeing fire by night and a cloud by day and experiencing the glory of God. I mean, it was awesome. God coming down on Mount Sinai, shaking the mountain. The mountain is smoking like a volcano, but it's just a mountain. The smoke isn't coming up from the mountain. It's coming down from God. And there's lightning, and there's thunder, and there's great glory on that mountain. Man, and most of the children of Israel, they ran from it. They ran and hid away, and they wanted to go back to what was comfortable, the golden calves that they worshiped back in Egypt. And they departed from him. They surrounded themselves with utter worthlessness. They surrounded themselves with foolishness and missed out on being surrounded by the glory of God, because he was coming down there and he wanted to bring a people close to him. He wanted to bring those people close to him. He wanted to pour himself out upon them. He wanted to touch them. He wanted to speak to them. Man, have a conversation with God. God talking to you. Him leading you. Him showing you great and mighty things. Him showing and revealing more of himself to you. That's what he wanted to do with the children of Israel. But they pulled back from that. They felt like that was going to cost them too much. They didn't want to pay such a price as to give their whole life to God. They didn't want to give their whole life to God, you know. They wanted to hang on to some of it and save it for some of these things over here. For some of the gold of Egypt and some of the pleasures of sin. They wanted to do that. They wanted to hang on to that. And that is so empty and so vain. So foolish. And yet, so many people today, that's exactly where their minds are. Their minds are on low things, low, unimportant, inexpensive things. And I'm not just talking about expensive materially. I'm talking about spiritually. Spiritually. Things of no value at all, spiritually. But it's fun for the flesh. It's exciting for the flesh. It's adventurous to the flesh. It's nothing in comparison to the God who created it all. I mean, you go all the way back to Adam. Adam sold out his God who created all things for a tree, for some fruit that God created. Now, why would you sell out the creator of the tree for the tree? Oh, it looks so good. Oh, the tree is so, oh, it looks delicious, the fruit. It looks so good. Oh, I just got to have some of that fruit. I just got to have some of that. Well, it's going to cost your relationship with God. It's going to dull you to God. It's going to cause you to become insensitive to him. God's going to become less real to you. I got to have it. I just got to have it. And he did. And he chose the fruit of a tree over the God who created it. What did he value? He valued the earthly things that really had no value apart from God. No value apart from God. But he put value on that and even valued the things above the creator of those things. And that's where so many people are today, you know. Running around after things, pursuing things. Their happiness is all caught up in things. When our happiness is to be caught up in the creator of those things. Man, why just settle for the thing when you can have the creator of the thing? Huh? I mean, if you like something, you know, And people will, there's things they like, and they'll spend so much money just to have that thing, just to have that thing. And then somebody walks over and says, "I got the key to the factory that makes those things. You could have the whole factory." No, it's okay. I just want the thing. Now that is ignorant. How many people say that's a bad decision? That's a bad decision. You can have the factory that makes the thing, so you can have an endless supply of those things. Huh? Those things are like nothing. They're a dime a dozen. You got the factory. I remember, we were talking about ice cream before. When I lived in New York, I was in partnership with my brother in a little ice cream cafe. And so, we had it was an old-fashioned ice cream cafe. And it was nice. I had the key to the ice cream store, And so sometimes we'd be hanging out and go somewhere or something, say, "Hey, feel like some ice cream? Okay, let's go." So we'd go over to the ice, 11 o'clock at night, unlock the door. Just go in there, how many scoops you want. Hallelujah. How many scoops you want? Hot fudge, banana splits, do anything you want, anytime you want. You want ice cream, you can have it till it's coming out of your nostrils. Right? Now, wouldn't it be foolish to just sell out the whole store just for a cup of it? It wouldn't even make sense. And yet, spiritually, this is the kind of decisions people are making every day. They're rejecting the God who created it all and that gladly supplies them with them all, with all these things. Bible says he gives us freely all things to enjoy. Liberally, another translation, freely, liberally, all things to enjoy. And yet we get all, look what I got, look what I got. And then we fall in love with it. We fall in love with it. And it's like, it becomes our world. It becomes everything. And there's a bunch of things that people are just all entangled in, and it has become their world. And they're valuing the stuff over the creator of the stuff. And when you got the stuff, then you realize, like the ice cream, it's a dime a dozen. The stuff really doesn't have a whole lot of value because there's such an endless supply of it. There's never any lack of it. You got more than enough, right? You got more than enough, so it's just not that big of a deal. And that's exactly how we would be if we had our focus in the right place. If our focus was in the right place on God, that he is our all in all. He is our everything. How do you know he is more valuable than anything? But Romans chapter 1 talks about how people worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. They worship and serve the creation over the creator. They value things. They value the things of this world above God, above him, above his things, the things pertaining to his heart. And you and I, friends, we have been given access into the very heart of God. Into the very heart. I think of Judas. Judas sold out Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, which condemnation just beat up on him after the fact, and there was no repentance in him, but he ended up killing himself. He got so depressed. He became more and more miserable. But notice that he chose silver over the Savior, over Jesus. Think about this. Now, he's walking with Jesus. Money's not an issue with Jesus. You need to pay the taxes? Go cast your line in the sea. The first fish you pull up will have the tax money for both you and me. That's what he told Peter. Not an issue at all. Bread, food, multiplies the stuff. Right? Judas is in the middle of this. He's watching this. He's walking with Jesus. Precious. Awesome. Jesus. And yet, as he's walking with Jesus, he's looking at the offerings that are coming in. He's looking at the money that's coming in. And of course, he was in charge of counting the money. He was over the treasury. And he's looking at this money that's coming, and his mind is slipping away from Jesus, who's the one that's causing the wealth to come in. And he's counting. I never saw this much money in my life. You never saw Jesus in your life. I never saw this much money. And now all of a sudden, his money, he's money-minded. He's thinking about how he can get more money. And then he starts thinking, well, I'm working harder than the rest of these guys. I'm working late at night doing the book work while Peter's out there fishing. I deserve more of this. I'm not getting paid enough. And really, honestly, this belongs to me. And he starts pocketing the money. He starts stealing the money. What a depraved mind. Huh? A mind that has just deteriorated to the point where he cannot see what is really valuable. He is placing value on something that is really worthless in comparison to who he has access to what he has an opportunity to be a part of. And that's what happens to a lot of folks. You know, folks get a promotion, folks get a raise, folks get, you know, they get things, they're serving God. God, you know, promotion comes from the Lord, the Bible says. And God promotes them, and God gives them good stuff, and raises them up, and next thing you know, they fall in love with their position. They fall in love with the authority that they have. They fall in love with the power that they have. They fall in love with the money that they have. They fall in love with all these different things, and they miss who raised them up and who placed them there. Suddenly, that isn't as valuable to them anymore. And they start putting value on things that aren't really valuable at all, while despising the things that are extremely valuable. Amen. We got to get our minds renewed, and we got to grow up and realize how dishonorable this world, this generation is, and how we ourselves have been cheapened in our thinking. We've become small in our thinking. We've become little in our thinking, and we have honored what wasn't worthy of honor while despising, which is the opposite of honor, despising what should be highly esteemed. Highly esteemed. We should be the most honorable people on the face of the earth. Judas should have been one of the most honorable people on the face. Adam should have been an extremely honorable, I mean, walked in the presence of God. Huh? Walked in the presence of God. You talk about opportunity. What did he see? What did he experience? And for how long did that go on? We don't even know. We don't know. It could have been thousands of years. We don't know how long he walked with God. We know that the clock started ticking about 6,000 years ago when man fell. That's when he fell. And then we're able to keep track of time. But before he fell, he was standing in a timeless place with God. There was no time. Man. And yet, he became an extremely dishonorable human being. Which means what? He honored, or he put value on something that wasn't valuable, and treated as worthless what was extremely valuable, God. The most precious thing you have in life is God. The most precious thing you have in life is your relationship with God. It is the most precious, most powerful, most awesome thing that you can have. A relationship with God. And he has made the way by which we can be sons and daughters and have a relationship with him that far exceeds the relationship that the angels or any other created being can have with him. Man, God has opened the way for us to come in and know God and to walk with him, to yield to him so that we become like him in every area of life. And that's what we want to be. That's what we want to be. We want him. I want him more than the stuff. I want him more than the things of this world. Paul the Apostle said to know him and the power of his resurrection. Yeah, he started many churches, many revivals, saw tremendous things happen in his day. Miracles, signs, wonders, awesome things, people getting saved. All kinds of things came to pass through the Apostle Paul. It was awesome. But in Philippians, he doesn't say, oh, to build more churches. Oh, to have more converts. He said, oh, to know him. I'm going back to Moses. I mean, you think about Moses. Look what it says here in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Why did Moses become Moses? Why did he become this great man of faith that we adore today? Because Moses was an honorable man. Everybody say honor. He was an honorable man. He gave honor to whom honor was due. He understood where the true worth and value was to be placed in life. And it was on God, knowing him. And that's why it says here in Hebrews 11, in verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, you understand, Moses was in a position where he could have just about anything this world had to offer. I mean, he was high up right there in the very family of Pharaoh, who's the ruler over this great empire called Egypt. And Moses, he's right up in the middle of it all, man. He's got access to Pharaoh. He's got access to all the things of Egypt. I mean, he goes through the town wearing his royal robes. Everybody's going to bow. He could have them all kiss his ring if he wanted them to. Here comes Moses. Watch out. I mean, he had fame. He had fortune. He had it all available to him. But notice this. This is powerful. Moses was a smart man. Moses was a smart man. He was an intelligent man. He was an intelligent man. Because look, it says in verse 24, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing or temporary pleasures of sin. Esteeming or valuing, treasuring the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. He looked to the reward. What was that reward? God. He knew there was a reward for diligently seeking God. He knew there was a reward for staying steadfast and following God and putting God above everything else. He knew there was great benefits to walking with God, staying with him. And he valued, he esteemed God so much so that he didn't mind suffering, affliction, persecution, humiliation, and the lack of the things of this world. He was able to put his popularity, his image, his prestige, his finances, everything on the line for this one thing. God. To walk with him. To know him. To experience him. Man, even to suffer for him. And that's what Paul, the apostle, said back in Philippians. He said to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Man, they counted it a great honor to be able to suffer for God. I mean, it's difficult just to get the church world today to realize what a great honor it is to sup with the Lord. You can sit down at the master's table and you can feast on his goodness, and he's got great things for you, and you can enjoy his presence, because in his presence is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. And and even that right there, And I mean, you can preach it too. I mean, foam flying and everything. And folks, Yeah, praise God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, to sup with the Lord is an awesome thing. Folks struggle with that. Here's Moses, and he's saying, to suffer for the Lord. Man, to be actually counted worthy, to be like, I'm doing this for God. Whoosh, whoosh. That's a slap in the face. I'm doing this for God. I'm suffering for him. I'm in prison for him. I'm going without and I'm lacking stuff for him. What an honor to be in his company like that. To be considered a part of him in any way, even in the area of suffering. That was his mentality. Just an awesome thing to know that I'm connected to God. Just knowing I'm in the perfect will of God. Just knowing I'm doing this for him. Just know that I can actually do something that pleases God. I can do something that gets God's attention. That's incredible. I've had times where I've thought about that, you know, heaven full of people, billions and billions. You got created all kinds of created beings running around the place and angels all over the place. I mean, it's packed, just packed. And there you are, you know, you're in there like a sardine. And you're in the middle of multitudes of people and beings. You're standing there in the middle of this, and I mean, you're like a needle in a haystack. And you're standing there, and you see the throne of God, and there's lightning, and there's thunder, and there's fire, and God's eyes is like a spotlight, you know. You ever see like a concert, they have the lights that go out there over the people, you know what I'm saying? And there's lights that just go on the people and scan the audience, right, for effect. I believe that's what it's like in heaven, except the light is God's eyes. Huh? Right? Can you see that? And fire and light. And everybody's going, holy, 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 holy. Everybody's just losing it, falling down. Crowns are flying. I mean, things are happening. Place is shaking. And you're just like in the middle. You're just like, oh, just being here. Just being. Nobody even has to recognize you. Nobody has to notice you. It's just like, I'm in this place. I'm in heaven. I'm here. I'm in the middle of it all. And you're not looking for anybody to notice you. Hey, you're just in the middle of it all. And all of a sudden, you know, lights are flying around. And all of a sudden, poof, this light hits you. And it's God. And he's looking right at you. And he just zeroes in on you. And you're thinking. And the whole place stops. And everybody turns around. And it's like he's just looking at you. And then all of a sudden he goes. All of a sudden he smiles. And he goes, that's my boy. What would that be worth to you? What would that be worth to you? Would that be worth anything to you? worth everything. The God who created it all just looked at me and smiled. And then the crowd splits. You don't even have to have this. We're done. I've already died 1,000 deaths right there. I mean, I've been resurrected 1,000 times. The crowd splits and he says, come up here. And you're taken up to him. And next thing I know, Jesus walks up to you and starts talking about the things that you did for his name's sake. And what you gave up and what you sacrificed for his name's sake. And he starts laying it all out there. And after this is all said and done, he looks at you and says, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. Now you're going to be ruled over much. Enter into the joy of the Lord. It's too much, Jesus. It's too much. I can't do it anymore, Jesus. You got to have angels just constantly just injecting you with strength and drink. You're drinking from the golden goblet, reviving beverages. It's like, it's too much. It's just too overwhelming. It is. You'd have to have a supernatural body to handle this. That's where we're going. That's what he said we can have. What's that worth? Faith sees it in here. Faith sees it with the heart and says, I want that. I believe that by his Spirit, I can have that. I can do that because he said so. He said so, and so it's going to be so. I'm going to have this. I can't do it in my own strength. I could never please God in my own strength. But he has given me his Holy Spirit. Where is all the pain and suffering that you endured in this life and the persecution that you endured in this life for his name's sake? Not because of your stupidness in the flesh, but for his name's sake. Where is all that going to be at that moment? You're going to wish you can go back and suffer 100 times worse. Do 100 times more than you did at that moment. There's nothing I wouldn't sacrifice. There's nothing I wouldn't do to have that moment with you. And to avoid what other people are having that were Christians. They were saved. They were called into the very same things. And yet they chose to pursue worthless, vain, empty pursuits. They chased after the wind. They loved the world. They ate from the tree and just couldn't get enough of that tree. And now they stand there. Completely ashamed. Huh? And then they've got to stand before him and give an account of the things done in their bodies. Why? Where were you? I asked you to do this. Why did you treat my servants like that? Why? What was that? Where were you when I... They'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What those people would do for a second chance at this life down here. What are you valuing? What is important to you? We need help. Come on. We need help. We need to get our minds renewed and get this thing turned around more and more and more so that we are sold out the whole route. Sold out the whole ride. We just sell ourselves out to God. There's no price too high for him. To have him. To identify with him. There's no price too high. There's nothing we wouldn't pay. That's the way it's supposed to be. It has been for others. Like Moses, he honored God just like that. And honor is God's value system. God's value system is God's honor. Honor is spiritual currency. It's heaven's money. That's what it is. This is what we spend. This is what we want to accumulate in our lives. We're not just carnal folks that set our mind on the things of this world and think, oh, if I could just save a lot of money. How much honor are you building up in your spirit's account, in your heart? How much honor are you accumulating in you? You and I need to be growing in honor. What is your net worth? How much honor do you have? Spiritually. How much honor do you have? And again, we're talking about honor. We're talking about what you value, what you esteem, what you respect. How many of you have ever heard the phrase, to pay respect? They paid their respects. Paid. What do you mean? Well, when you pay for something, you spend, right? You spent. They paid their respects, or they paid with respect. They paid with honor, because honor is a spiritual currency. And it's spiritual in that it proceeds from our spirit. It's something that is in our hearts. And so paying your respects is giving your attention, giving your time, giving your best for someone. That's honoring them, right? Pay respect. Pay attention. Pay attention. See, attention. It's a part of your honor. It's a part of who you are. Can I get your attention this morning? Do I got your attention? That's your honor. You have honored the word. You have honored God by coming and giving him your attention, or paying attention. You're spending attention. You're spending this honor that is in you. Now, a lot of folks don't have a long attention span. And many times, and it doesn't just have to be a church, it could be in any situation in life, but, I know from ministering the word of God, you're going along preaching the word. I mean, it's good. You're having a great time. God's given revelation. And you see, folks, you got their attention. They're spending their attention. They're paying attention. They're giving their honor to the word. And then all of a sudden, they go into this gaze. And you could tell, they're just like Motel 6. The lights are on, but nobody's home. I mean, you could just see that they left. They're back here. They're thinking about something else. They're gone. You lost their attention. Their honor ran out. Their respect ran out. You've seen this in your own life, and you can't make excuses for it, I've seen people, they can't listen to another word from God. I can't listen to another word from God. And then you go over there and you turn the TV on. They're up another couple more hours watching that game. Oh, I mean revival. They're in revival. And you look and go, now wait a second. You were in pain listening to the word. And I've had a very long day. You got to understand, I've been up since early this morning. Yeah, but look what's on. The game's still on. The game is still on. These jerks. Look at these guys. What are they doing? Come on, get with it, boys. Play ball. No. It's not a physical problem. It's a spiritual problem. It's an honor problem. It is an honor problem. You have run out of cash? No, you ran out of honor. You don't have any more to pay. You have no more to spend. And honor works just like financial giving. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. When you give honor to things that deserve honor, when you give your attention, you give your time, you give your focus, you give your care, you give your love, you give your best for things that are worthy of it, you know what happens? You get more of it. You build more honor in you. As you spend it, you're immediately increased with it. And you grow and grow in honor, thus growing more and more valuable to God and man. Growing more valuable to God and man. Honor has a price. Honor has a price, and it's your life. You pay with your life that which you honor. And again, we're talking about your life, talking about your trust, your respect, your concern, your patience. A lot of people run out of patience. I just don't have patience for you. What you ran out of was honor when you ran out of patience. You can no longer pay attention. You can no longer handle this because your funds have run out. Your honor funds have run out. You gotta pay. Honor is a price that is paid with your life. Amen. Things I just mentioned, trust, respect, your love, your attention, all these things are the merchandise of your inner being. It's the merchandise of your inner being. And we want to build more and more of this merchandise. We want to gather more and more of this merchandise into our inner being. We want to increase our spiritual net worth. And how do we do it? By giving. Giving of our lives. Giving of ourselves. Being honorable people. But again, a lot of folks, they're spending their honor on worthless things. And they don't have any honor left for the things that are truly valuable. And that is dishonor. Paying or giving honor to things that aren't worthy of honor is dishonorable and not honorable at all. We want to put honor in the right place. We don't want to honor something that God dishonors. We don't want to honor something God dishonors. We don't want to value something that God says that's cheap, that's trash. God says that's trash. He calls trash sin. He says that's sin, that's trash, it's garbage. And we go, it's sinfully delicious. It's so precious, it's so valuable. I can't live if living is without it. That is so dishonorable. That is a dishonorable person. Sin is extremely dishonorable because you're valuing something that God despises and says that should not be valued. That should not be esteemed. How much of your life are you willing to spend on someone or something? How much of your life are you willing to spend on God? How much of yourself you want to give? Well, you want to be fanatical. See? Where do you want to be fanatical? Because we know you're a fanatic about something. Everybody's a fanatic about something. Just got to probe and find out what it is. Hang out with them for a while. But everybody's a fanatic about something. What are you willing to spend? How much of yourself are you willing to be able, what you want to give to God
to people that God has placed in your life, that he says, these are people in your life, you're to honor these people. You're to esteem these people. A lot of folks don't have any honor at all. They don't have no patience. They got no time for even their own families. Got no time. Got no time. Got no time for you. They're dishonorable. So, we're going to continue in this series, and we're going to continue to learn about the honor of God, God's value system, huh? And we are going to grow in this honor, and thus our spiritual net worth is going to increase more and more and more. Amen. And we're going to find ourselves extremely useful to the master. Not everybody is. Just because you're born again, that don't mean you're extremely useful to the master. You got to make yourself that way. And the way you do it is by being a person, a man or a woman of honor. That's how you become valuable to God. And you can read that over in the book of Timothy. He talks about cleansing yourself of fleshly things that you might be a vessel of honor, useful to the master. Do you want to be useful to the master? Hallelujah. I want to be useful to the master. Praise God. I want to increase my spiritual net worth and thus my usefulness to him because I treasure. We want to treasure the rewards that come from him over the passing pleasures of this world. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet with me this morning.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.